When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is ESPN Radio.
I don't know if Zach Martin is still going to be the boys or the man. Just trying to make a reference there to the music coming in. I don't know if it works, but I don't know if Zach Martin's going to end up being the man in Dallas. At least right now, he ain't showing up to training camp because his owner doesn't seem to be ponying up the money for an extension. Amber Wilson and Courtney Cronin hanging out with you here on ESPNU and on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio, of course, is presented to you by our friends at Progressive Insurance. So Courtney, Zach Martin, not happy. So unhappy that he's willing to give up $50,000 a day, which is what it's costing him right now to be a holdout and not show up at Dallas Cowboys training camp. Jerry Jones, though, has said there are concerns when he has to consider whether to hand a player an extension who still has 2 years left on his deal, notably having to pay other players down the line. Jerry Jones was on NFL Live with Ed Werder. Here's what he had to say about the Zach Martin holdout.
We've had our talks, and I think we'll just plan it day by day and see how it goes. We've got a lot of guys. We've got a guy named Parsons out here that is going to need a little money when the time comes. So
that's after this year.
We're going to be judicious with our money.
Judicious with his money, Courtney.
It just rings so tone deaf because we know that, like we were talking about the Mets, the Cowboys have had no issue throwing money at the wall, hoping that it fixes whatever problem pops its head up. And Jerry Jones making the Micah Parsons comment after paying Trayvon Diggs the 5-year, $97 million extension last week to make him one of the highest paid quarterbacks. This is an owner telling you the positions he prioritizes, and apparently a Hall of Fame, a soon-to-be Hall of Fame, eventual Hall of Fame guard in Zach Martin is one of those problems that Jerry Jones is okay not addressing in the form of compensation. I understand when he comes to this saying, I'm trying to cap plan, guys. We got to pay Micah Parsons. There's the looming Dak Prescott extension, assuming he plays well this year. We've got a plan to maintain where we are in our roster and make sure there's money left over. I'm not being irresponsible with my salary cap and all that stuff. No, this is Jerry Jones being short-sighted at a position that he cannot afford. It's a piece-worked, patchworked offensive line that's been piecemealed together. And yes, you have Tyron Smith, you have Zach Martin, but let's keep these guys there and keep them happy. When you have Dak Prescott going into a make-or-break season and knowing that you're toying with his pass protection by not kind of caving to this player's demands, and really don't know that he's asking for much, this is somebody who did not allow a sack in 594 pass blocking snaps last season. He gave up 2 quarterback hits, 16 pressures, and a 2.7% pressure rate. That is somebody you need, Amber, in front of Dak Prescott to keep him upright, to make sure that the interceptions are something that he's able to cut down on, because he has time to look down the field and make the correct reads and make the correct throw. And I just think that Jerry is kind of acting like this is a replaceable position, knowing where they were before they were able to fortify this offensive line, but also the work that they still have to do up front to make sure this is a formidable unit in front of Dak Prescott. And now you want to take your all-pro guard and say, well, we can do this with or without you. That's not the way to conduct business, especially with somebody who's been on this team for a while and has been a franchise player at that.
This team drafted him back in 2014. Nobody knows how good Zach Martin is better than Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. He's so good, in fact, that Jerry Jones made him the highest paid player at his position in the entire NFL back in 2018. And by the way, he still has a couple years left on that deal. And that's the problem, I would imagine, from the Jerry Jones perspective. Like, hey, man, I did pay you. And I didn't just pay you. Like, I paid you. And yes, it worked out. It worked out very well because, like you said, his production is still there. But now he's 32 years old. Now he has two 2 years left on his deal. So he's looking for an extension beyond that. So we're talking about a player who's looking for a contract in his mid-30s and still wants to be paid like the highest paid player at his position, where certainly the market has increased since his original deal back in 2018. And you are talking about a team that does have to most likely pay Dak an extension. I mean, we'll see how that goes, like you said, based on his production, but they're going to need to extend Dak Prescott. They're going to need to pay not just Micah Parsons, but next year CeeDee Lamb, Trayvon Diggs. I mean, there are concerns here when you're Jerry Jones and you're looking at the future of a team that is in a salary cap sport. And yes, you can find the money. You can always find the money if you're super committed to paying a player, and you can structure contracts in a certain way. But it doesn't mean that you necessarily want to find the money and overextend yourself when you have all of these other things to consider for a player, again, who will be in his mid-30s, who you probably feel like if you're Jerry Jones, and this is, I think with Jerry, it's easy not to give him a pass because it's Jerry Jones. And I feel like people like to pile on Jerry Jones a little bit. But if you're Jerry Jones, you're looking at it like, hey, Zach, you still have a couple years left on this deal. This isn't 1 year and we're on an expiring deal and we're talking about an extension. Still have a couple years left on this deal. And when I did hand you this deal, I made you the highest paid player in the league at that position. So we'll get a deal done. Mm-hmm. Give us some time. Of course, we don't know what Zach Martin's asking for, but I would imagine he's asking for some longevity in terms of an extension. And I could see the apprehension there considering where we're at.
The problem is he's outplayed this deal. And that's the reason that he wants to be compensated for what he's done. He, you know, all the first team all pro honors, I found a stat earlier, like the only players who have more than that in their career are Randall McDaniel and John Hanna. They both had 7, and Martin's one away from matching those. He wants to get paid and be the highest paid interior offensive lineman, and he deserves it. What the Cowboys can do, because it's not like they're financially hamstrung and have no wiggle room around this. Remember in 2022 when Aaron Donald had outplayed his deal with the Rams, what they did during the offseason is restructured his deal to add, you know, more money up front and give him, you know, that extra year. So it ballooned his payment to about $30 million a year for the Rams.
How did that work out?
That had nothing to do with last year. Like, he's not the main problem for why they're in this sort of rebuild situation with their salary cap. Like, that is a player you absolutely have to pay. And you can take your lumps and do all the other stuff. And we know what they're doing right now. I don't want to say tanking, but they made the financial commitments to not make the financial commitments so they can end up getting their salary cap healthy for next year. Aaron Donald is the outlier, though. That's somebody you end up paying. Zach Martin. It's not at the level of Aaron Donald, but there are ways to make this work where you can still reward a player for how well he's performed for you and give yourself the financial flexibility to do all those things that Jerry Jones says he wants to do, which is paying Micah Parsons down the line. This hard line in the sand where he's trying to make it sound like, well, we've done our due diligence, like we did the thing in 2018. We're not budging from that. That's a stubborn mindset for a team that just cut Zeke Elliott during the offseason and has $6 million in dead money still on his contract. Like, find the difference, make up the difference, and end up giving Zach Martin that to keep him happy, to keep your quarterback upright, and to make sure that your offensive line is able to be a cohesive unit this year.
But his quarterback will be upright for the next 2 seasons, right? If they don't get an extension done with Zach Martin. And that's assuming that he doesn't hold out for the entire season. And that's assuming that being fined right now $50,000 a day at some point matters to Zach Martin. But assuming that he's not going to be a holdout for 2 entire seasons here, Courtney, which is what he has left on his contract, then he is going to actually be helping this Dallas Cowboys team. And so I think that that's probably the starting point for Jerry Jones, is that he's calling his bluff a little bit. Like, he thinks Zach Martin is going to end up helping his quarterback and is going to end up showing up, if not to camp, showing up for the regular season. But the other component of this conversation is, where does Jerry think the direction of this team is headed? And maybe you are in a position, if you're Jerry, where you kind of want to see how things play out with Dak this season and the success of this team, because right now you're in a win now proposition and you have Zach under contract right now. Maybe he's thinking in a couple of years it'll end up being a different situation when he has to consider all of these contracts. He'll be looking at all of these contract extensions, including the Micahs of the world, differently than maybe he's sitting here and thinking about at this moment. I just think it's a tricky situation with Zach Martin, because again, we're talking about a player 33 years old, with multiple years left on his deal, who at the time did sign the biggest deal at his position in NFL history. And if you're Jerry Jones, the way I am approaching that as an owner and a GM, as a starting point in terms of negotiations, and publicly as a starting point as well, because this is all about negotiations, let's be real, is trying not to budge from that initial position of, hey, I paid you that once. And we see this time and again, like Patrick Mahomes signs the crazy long contract that makes him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Well, now look at that contract. Now look at where we are.
He outplayed it, kind of like Zach Martin outplaying his.
But at the same time, if you're an owner or a GM in the NFL, you can't just immediately fold and bend over backwards, because then these contracts mean nothing. The length of these contracts mean absolutely nothing if you're going to just go ahead and concede immediately if you're an owner or a GM. So I understand the stance that Jerry's taking right now. I think it's actually the proper stance for Jerry to take right now. And maybe Zach Martin's also taking the proper chance, because the power that Zach Martin can exercise is not showing up. And so far, he's not.
Yeah. And we'll see how long it lasts. We know that $50,000 a day adds up. I believe they're like 5 or 6 days into training camp at Oxnard, California. If he comes back, you'd like to believe it's because there's been some concessions made from both sides. So maybe he doesn't get the sort of deal that's added on. But like, how, if you gave him, if you restructured this thing 3 years, $21 million to then make him the, like, on top of what he already has, to like add the years, add extra value to his contract to make him the highest paid offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman.
So it's just one extra year in that scenario?
More or less. Like, who? Why would you say no to that? Because, like, think of, like, the difference you could make up from, like, Zeke was what I brought up, the $6 million that they're on the hook for like, in dead cap. Find that money somewhere and stick it onto the end of this deal with Zach Martin so you have him there in training camp to get this offensive line together. Because remember, they have a lot of new pieces offensively. Tony Pollard coming off the injury is going to be the lead back because Zeke is not there. They brought in Brandon Cooks to try to help this wide receiver core to fortify it a little bit, so all that pressure is not just on C.D. Lamb. They go end up drafting a tight end. They have a new look offense because it's going to be a new play caller in Mike McCarthy. You want to make sure that everybody's on the same page from the jump when there are so many changes, even some of them probably feeling kind of slight. It still benefits the team to have everybody out there at training camp to get everything gelled and going in the right direction. Holdouts are interesting, though, because it's, you know, it'd be one thing if he was there and holding in, kind of like what we saw Danielle Hunter do in Minnesota, and he ended up getting his new deal yesterday, 1 year, up to $20 million with incentives, agreeing to a new deal after being in the facility, but not actually, like, participating in practice, so he didn't get fined. Zach Martin went the direction that we really haven't seen that many players go since the new CBA was ratified in 2020, but it's one that he feels is his best chance at giving himself the most leverage and trying to get this new deal, and we'll see if it happens.
Yeah, he's really trying to put the pressure on them there to get something done. He's owed 13 and then 13 and a half over the next two seasons under his current contract. Coming up next here, Amber Wilson and Courtney Cronin here with you on ESPNU and on ESPN Radio. The Falcons have offensive weapons, but do they have a quarterback? Our 2-a-days rolls on.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
Hey, let's go do our job, man.
NFL Nation 2-a-days.
Time is here.
On ESPN Radio, the Atlanta Falcons.
Blue 58, go.
This is Michael Rothstein. I cover the Atlanta Falcons for ESPN's NFL Nation. The biggest storyline on the Falcons entering NFL training camp is this. It's all about their defense. Well, people will want to talk about Desmond Ridder. That will be a regular season problem because he is going to be their starting quarterback. But what this defense looks like under new coordinator Ryan Nielsen is going to be a big deal. Because while the offense is loaded with playmakers, and again, those questions about Ridder, this defense was one of the worst in the league last year. They need to find a pass rush. They brought in Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree to try and help that out, along with the expected growth of Arnold Ebiketie. On the back end, they have Jeff Okuda in a contract year, trying to be the number two corner opposite A.J. Terrell. They brought in Jesse Bates as a high-priced safety. This team needs to figure it out, and it starts on the defense, because the offense, it will get there as long as Desmond Ridder can be competent. But if the defense isn't there, it will be a long season in Atlanta.
Countdown to kickoff with NFL Nation Two-A-Days on ESPN Radio.
Amber Wilson and Courtney Cronin hanging out with you here on ESPN Radio. You can also watch us, of course, on ESPNU. So there you have it from Michael Rothstein, who, of course, covers the Atlanta Falcons for us here at ESPN NFL Nation. Courtney, he thinks defense is the biggest story going into this season. That might surprise people because typically when we're talking about a team with quarterback questions, the story always begins when we go into a season. The quarterback position and the development of Desmond Ridder, I would imagine, is in fact a conversation as we head into this season, but defense was the way that Rossi went.
And I understand that he's going on a more micro level. I covered a team that had a horrendous pass rush last year. You know who was worse than the Bears at pressuring the quarterback? It was the Atlanta Falcons. And Grady Jarrett clearly can't do it all on his own, so they were a really active team in free agency. And I think if you're a Falcons fan, you appreciate that. But nationally speaking, when we take a look at the NFC South and what it's going to take to win that division and some of the uncertainty about is Desmond Ridder the guy, they moved on from Marcus Mariota. We all got a chance to see how that unfolded in the quarterback series on Netflix.
So good.
It's all about the offense. It's all about Bijan Robinson and what type of role he quickly carries in this backfield. And we know that Tyler Allgeier, their running back from last year, rushed for over 1,000 yards as a rookie, and he's a fifth-round draft pick. So what this offense looks like with Desmond Ridder, how quickly Bijan Robinson ends up becoming not only a big piece of the offense for the Atlanta Falcons, but a big fantasy bet at that. I know that a lot of people have their drafts coming up, and he's expected to be one of the top backs taken because he's not just a running back. We know that he does a lot of different things. How he will get involved in what Arthur Smith wants to do offensively will potentially guide what the first couple weeks look like for this Atlanta Falcons team looking to bounce back from a really tough year in a division that kind of feels more wide open than the NFC North and some of the other division races that are more cloudy than clear going into training camp.
Low-key, that Marcus Mariota on quarterback on Netflix is one of the coolest things. I think the inclusion of a guy at that position who isn't a Patrick Mahomes, you know, like I love on that show how you get to see the trials and tribulations of being Mariota on that Falcons team. And you're right, now it's the Desmond Ridder show, though, and Bijan Robinson, because it was a surprise pick there at that eighth position in the draft. I do think that the offense is always what everyone keys in on, and seeing that development of the offense as we head into a season. But you did say that they were very active in free agency defensively as well. And we were talking about the team with the second most space in the entire NFL in terms of salary cap. Your Bears came into the offseason as the number one team with the most room to spend here. And the Falcons ended up making the most of that. They really, really tried to upgrade that defensive line. We'll see if it works out. You heard Michael Rothstein mention Calais Campbell. They bring him in. Now he is 37 years old to start this season, but his play actually hasn't dropped off yet. Last season still racked up 6 sacks, 12 hits, 17 hurries. So he should be a big boost to that line, as well as Onyemata and Eddie Goldman, who they brought in free agency too. Some vets. They brought in some veteran presence here for this Atlanta Falcons team. What I think is interesting, though, about this Falcons team, because, I mean, Courtney, it ain't the most interesting team in the NFL, right? But what is interesting about this team is the division that they play in. Because Rothstein will have you believe, when he works with me and you here at ESPN Radio, that the Falcons maybe could get something done inside this division. I don't know if that's more of a testament to the Falcons or more of a testament to the state of that division generally?
I think it's the latter because, you know, you might be able to win that division in a similar fashion to the way the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did with, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 wins, and it's going to be more wide open than it is closed. But I think you look at the Falcons and what Rothstein has continually, like, you know, harped on, that they have one of the best group of skill players, and you might look immediately at wide receiver and think, okay, Drake London, yeah, I see that. Mac Hollins, Scotty Miller, But it's the Kyle Pitts of the world. Can he recapture how good he was during his Pro Bowl season as a rookie? Because he kind of fell off a cliff last season for a number of different reasons. Then, of course, adding Bijan Robinson to the mix, those weapons around Desmond Ridder. For him, you know, as a third-round draft pick, they took a flyer on him when they drafted him in 2022. We saw him in such limited action. He wasn't great as a rookie, but the situation he came in when Marcus Mariota and the writing was on the wall there, that, you know, all the roller coaster ride of the early season was going to just end up with the roller coaster crashing off course. They had to turn the ball over and start anew with their rookie quarterback. Now that he's going to have a full off season, a full season in the offense too this year to work through the lumps that come with this being your team, your offense, your command of the huddle. Let's see what he does, but I think that the expectations are fair when people might say Atlanta at, you know, 8, maybe 9 wins could end up winning the division, because where are you putting the Saints?
Right.
Where are you putting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have Baker Mayfield as their quarterback, still a nice group of skill players, but we know that they're headed towards some form of a rebuild, whatever you want to call it. The Saints with Derek Carr, I mean, speaking of defense, I don't know what that team is on the defensive side of the ball. And then the Carolina Panthers, like, if Bryce Young takes off and all of their young pieces, the core that they have defensively, the fact that they've invested in their offensive line, if that works out, might they actually contend for the top spot in the NFC South? So I think that just looking at all of those things, making Atlanta's case seem pretty strong is like the fact that they're right in on par on the same line as the other teams in their division. And you can't really make a good case for one team in the division over another, unless I guess you're arguing against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, well, and Tampa may take a step back, obviously, without Tom Brady at the helm, but you were still, even with Tom Brady, talking about an 8-win team. Like, that's how they won that division. Everybody else in that division, a 7-win team. We will see what happens here with Desmond Ridder, Drake London, and the others. Bijan Robinson, of course, now part of that crew as they move forward in Atlanta. 888-SAY-ESPN, that's how you join the conversation here on ESPN Radio. That's how Mike joins us from the Bronx. Hey, Mike, what's up? Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. Quick question. They keep talking about Dalvin Cook to the Jets. I was wondering, what was your opinion? Because I think a better fit would be Kareem Hunt. What were your thoughts on that?
I actually like the Kareem Hunt idea, because if you think about Breece Hall coming back, he's your lead rusher. Like, Kareem Hunt needs to go to a place where he can go into a role knowing he's the number two back. That's why I honestly thought Baltimore would have been a nice spot for him. Like, bringing Dalvin Cook in is, I mean, it's going to cost you. It's going to be more expensive than bringing in someone like a Kareem Hunt or any of the other second-tier running backs that are out there in free agency. But it's, you know, the fact that we haven't heard anything yet, that's my concern, because he was in the building yesterday. He was there standing next to the owner, Woody Johnson, at practice, getting his name chanted. We haven't heard of a deal being signed. So to me, this screams more, I'm trying to drum up more interest and leverage with other teams, namely the Miami Dolphins, than him actually wanting to sign with the New York Jets. And maybe the offer that the Jets offered him is about the same that the Miami Dolphins offered him.
Yeah, he clearly has an offer on the table, right? Some sort of offer on the table. He hasn't signed with either team. He was at Jets training camp, but practically shaking hands and kissing babies out there. The cheer, the
not
crowd. I mean, well, yeah, not signing them like Justin Fields. That's a Chicago thing. The crowd at Jets training camp was quite literally chanting his name at the beginning of Jets training camp. It's kind of bizarre. I mean, we're not used to seeing this. We're not. He's hobnobbing with the owner there. I mean, and yet he hasn't actually signed on the dotted line. So is he using it as leverage for the Dolphins, who maybe is his preferred destination because he's from Miami? Or is he, in fact, going to end up becoming a New York Jet, which is apparently what Aaron Rodgers wants? Dalvin Cook has said Aaron Rodgers was recruiting him there, and they can afford to, because Aaron Rodgers handed them back $35 million. So they prefer Dalvin Cook over Kareem Hunt, which most teams would. They've got the money in order to do it as well. Coming up next, would adding Dalvin Cook to the Jets make it Super Bowl or bust for that team? Amber Wilson and Courtney Cronin with you here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
Players were asked about that, and they said, yeah, absolutely, our goal is to be the number one defense.
Defensively, I think they were a little overrated last year. They were certainly better than the year before, don't get me wrong. So I want to see if their defense take the next step, and we'll find out if they will.
Now, history tells us it's very hard for teams that make that kind of turnaround to maintain it the following year. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. But they got 9 starters back.
So we will see how the New York Jets handle the entire season and also Hard Knocks, which is part of their season, much to their chagrin. But will Dalvin Cook be part of their season in New York? He's been part of their training camp, so to speak, Courtney. He was out there yesterday at training camp. He watched training camp from the sidelines. He stood next to the owner. He waved at the fans. The fans cheered his name at the start of training camp. He apparently had a very good visit there in New York. Rich Cimini tweeted out, free agent running back Dalvin Cook enjoyed his visit yesterday with the Jets, I'm told. Spent nearly the entire day there. Left without a deal, obviously, but there's still mutual interest. Mulling his options. End quote from Rich Cimini. So a good visit, Courtney. Certainly a very public visit. But yeah, how good could it have been if he left without signing the contract?
I'm with you. Like, it's a leverage play. If he really wanted to be with the Jets, if he wanted to play with Aaron Rodgers, and he's come out publicly and said that Rodgers recruited him there, he feels like he is wanted there, he wants to be a part of a team that's going places, he would have already signed the deal. This is coming down to he's seeing dollar signs that aren't there right now. And will they be there is the question. Like, does this drum up more interest with the Miami Dolphins? A couple hours ago, I thought, okay, maybe it would. But the Dolphins are probably looking at Dalvin Cook and saying, okay, our offer that we put on the table, it's still there. But the fact that he hasn't signed with the New York Jets leads me to believe that offer's probably not much more than what Miami already has on the table. So Miami being able to get past the hurdle of, hey, he has not signed with the Jets just yet, probably feels that they don't have any incentive to try to throw more money at Dalvin Cook to lure him away from New York, unless he comes out and something happens in the next couple hours where we find out the interest is very strong and they're just working on a couple things. Like, I still think he's going to end up using this time in training camp to sort through all of his options and not trying to like rush into getting into a training camp somewhere. Like, we know that he's been in the league since 2017. He's been through injuries. Training camp is not where he needs to expend his energy. He needs to try to find a team. And I think he's going to try to maybe do this with another team, another visit somewhere else. That's not the Jets. That's not the Dolphins, to try to draw up more of a market for himself as one of the top backs available in free agency.
I mean, he's got to get to a team at some point here to learn the offense, right?
I mean, you
gonna
think,
be a new
you
offense.
Think. Like, there
you
is that element of it, too.
Right, but I understand also, though, at that position, kind of wanting to save your body and not necessarily going through the grind so early on in training camp anyways. So things go well with the New York Jets. You walk away without signing, and I agree with you. That leads me to believe how well could they have really gone. Now, maybe the New York Jets end up being the best deal on the table, and because of that, he ends up signing there. But it also leads me to think that there's something that we're missing. And I would imagine, if I'm completely guessing with very little information, what we're missing is the fact that he wants to play for the Miami Dolphins, and that the Miami Dolphins just haven't offered him as much money as he was hoping to get. And if you're a running back in today's market, Courtney, are you going to sign the deal with the team that you really want to be with, but the numbers less than another team? With this climate for running backs, you have to capitalize on every single dollar that you can get. We did hear head coach Mike McDaniel, the Miami Dolphins head coach, say this week in a press conference. Of course, he continuously gets asked about Dalvin Cook, that he's a great player, but he doubled down on, I'm extremely happy though with our running backs room and what I already have here in Miami. If it's a thing that works out for both sides, he referenced, then it makes sense, but it has to work out for both sides. That doesn't sound like a coach that's incredibly encouraged by his front office wanting to come up anymore. So if this is a leverage play from Dalvin Cook, I don't know if it's going to make the Miami Dolphins move. If you're trying to make the Miami Dolphins move upwards, this is the way to do it, right? I mean, this is the power that he has.
Division
rival. You go flirt inside the division with the new hot team in the division with Aaron Rodgers now at the helm, and you flirt, Courtney, because he is out here flirting. I mean, training camp is out here shaking hands, kissing babies practically. That's what Dalvin Cook is doing. He's being so public about it that to me, it feels like a leverage play.
It feels like posturing because right. We know what he said early on in this process and that it was Miami. Like, the Jets weren't even in the conversation kind of until a few weeks after that Miami interest, which you could draw the ties there and connect the dots. It wasn't hard to figure out that playing for his home team in his home city, he has a home down in Miami, a lot of his life is down in Miami still, like that would be the dream for someone like Dalvin Cook. But once you put your dream out there, it kind of takes away some of the leverage. Like, oh, we know you want to play for us so badly, we're going to lowball you on the offer. So he did what he had to do. He and his representation were able to draw up interest, and it's not fake interest. I think the Jets would absolutely love to have Dalvin Cook in their backfield, at least until, you know, and give him a pretty predominant role, at least until you get Breece Hall back, because Breece Hall started training camp on the PUP list. They're not trying to rush back somebody who was in contention for Offensive Rookie of the Year until he got hurt last year. They're trying to make sure they don't end his career or hinder it by putting him out there before he's ready. So having Dalvin Cook in the fold, having somebody that can catch passes out of the backfield, that can be in this outside zone scheme, and be a very productive rusher. I mean, last year, I don't feel like the Minnesota Vikings ran the ball all that effectively. That would reflect itself in the way that Dalvin Cook played the, you know, 2020-2021 season. But if you can get someone in there who is finally healthy, he had off-season shoulder surgery, he's good to go, he played 17 games last year in the regular season, the first time he's ever done that, it's a really nice insurance policy. But Amber, you're a lawyer. Insurance policies cost a lot of money, at least the really good ones, when you're legally trying to cover yourself and cover, you know, all of your assets. That I think the Jets right now are probably being told a number by Cook and his representation that maybe is a little higher than they're willing to pay. And I think we're all looking around the AFC East, whether it's the Dolphins, whether it's the Jets, or whether it's even the New England Patriots, another team that's entertaining the idea of adding another running back to their committee by approach. There's their by committee approach that they're all waiting to see, okay, which one of you are willing to blink first in the Dalvin Cook sweepstakes, because that could end up sparking some interest.
I think it's zero coincidence that the other two teams that he has flirted with so heavily have been the two teams in the division, right? I mean, I think that that's zero coincidence, because of course you're trying to put the pressure on probably the team that you grew up with the dream to play for in the Miami Dolphins, that you grew up when you were a student at Miami Central High and you were playing football there, wanting your NFL career to lead you back there, to lead you back home. And that was probably Dalvin Cook's plan. We've heard it from him before that that would be like a dream for him to be able to play for the Miami Dolphins. But again, are you going to leave money on the table? And the New York Jets are able to enter this conversation because of what Aaron Rodgers did with that pay cut, handing the team back $35 million. They've got the space, they've got the room, and they've got the money to go ahead and try to bring Dalvin Cook to New York. We'll see if it works, because it feels a little bit like Dalvin Cook still wants to be in Miami. Your phone calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, if you want to join the conversation. We always appreciate that. Plus, coming up next here on ESPN Radio, ringtones and flies. Courtney has been in a battle of her life all morning. We'll get into that. ESPN Radio is also on the ESPN app.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is ESPN Radio.
Amber Wilson and Courtney Cronin. We are coming down the stretch here on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can find her on social media at Courtney R. Cronin. You can find me as well at Amber W. Sports. Courtney has been in a battle with a fly all morning long. And have you defeated the fly? If you're watching us on ESPNU, no. We will be playing video shortly here of Courtney Cronin's battle with the fly, because this thing has lasted for 4 hours. We have video right now. She's trying to smash it with her hand. She then tries to pick up some sort of object and smash it. Oh, a hairbrush at one point. She's waving her hairbrush in the air like a fly swatter, trying to get it to go away. Is the fly still with you?
I don't know where he went. And he was on my light. I said I was going to handle it in a break. And then by the time I looked up, it was gone. So if it's laying eggs somewhere in my hair right now, I wouldn't know. I'm just telling you, that's my biggest
thing.
Yes, it is. It's my biggest fear with bugs, that when you sleep or you're not paying attention, they're just like infestating. That's what they do. That's how they grow. That's how they are able to, you know, populate, to annoy people like you and I, except you don't seem to have this issue. Like, I'm the
one. Well, not at the moment, but I certainly have flies down here in Florida. Like, flies don't typically bother me that much because they're just kind of everywhere, I feel like. Now, we don't have like the huge horse flies that attack people sometimes, or at least I'm not so accustomed to them where I live. And so maybe that's the difference here. But like those small flies that I get everywhere, the only thing I don't like is when they land on your food, because I've heard that they go potty.
Yes, disgusting. And you also have not, speaking from your ivory tower down there in South Florida, you haven't had one bothering you the entire show.
I have not
been able to defeat this guy.
You saying they're not infestating Amber's Island?
They're not. They're not.
Is that a word?
They're not infestating.
The
definitely not a word.
Who said infestating?
She said infestating?
You said infestating.
I never said infestating.
I'm with Courtney. I don't think she said it. I mean, it's early. We've been doing this thing since the wee hours of the darkness. But I don't think I heard infestating.
Did I say infestating? I mean, it could have been 30 seconds ago. I can't remember what I did, like, you know, at the start of the segment when we came in at 8:45, but I don't see it. Like, let me pull down my computer. No, it's not behind the computer. Is it under here? No, it's not on the light. You know, these things are attracted to light. But
right,
my whole thing was, since we do have we simulcast, so we're on ESPNU, we're also on ESPN Radio. If we were just on radio, I would have been walking around with my headset, because I have a little bit of slack here on my cord. I would have been trying to get rid of this in the middle of the show, and you wouldn't have known anything about it. But because we have the TV element, I wasn't trying to do something that would put myself on, I don't know, remember like Deadspin used to pick up everything? Whatever the current version of making a fool of yourself on national TV is, I didn't want that to happen to me. So I was trying, as you can see here, if you're watching the ESPNU live stream, I was trying to get this fly. I love also whoever created that graphic of my headshot with the fly next to it. Well done. Might need to make that my new Twitter or X profile picture.
Wait.
But I did it. I was so worried that it was going to land on my forehead because, like, I didn't want to, like, smash it into my forehead because, you know, if it's there, you got to kill it at that point. And fortunately, that didn't happen. But I also did not get it when it landed on my hairbrush, which was, if you watch the ESPNU live stream, that was me trying to, like, swat
we
it off there.
We found it.
Okay.
You what found the fly?
No, they found it infestating in their mind.
Oh.
Go ahead and play it. Go ahead.
Coming up next, we got a lot going on. You absolutely are not going to want to miss
That's not the right drop, so thanks for nothing.
That was me and the greatest tease that's ever been given here on ESPN Radio.
Wait, what?
Infestated.
Wait, what?
What? Infestated. All right, Yates, English major Yates, what's the word then?
It's not infestating. They're
infesting?
They're infesting something. But I think the action is not
infestating.
No, it's not that.
Okay.
I like when you guys did find the sound, then she just tried to double down on it then.
Well, I didn't know what's the proper conjugation of the word to infest. So thank you. I mean,
infesting,
honestly,
infested.
Yes.
Chris Carlin would never screw that up.
You know what?
Yeah, Carlin would.
Chris Carlin doesn't have the same problem that I have this morning. He's sitting over there in his comfy studio at the Seaport. I'm here with wood paneling behind me in a makeshift radio studio trying to get this bug that's trying to ruin my morning and infest.
In fairness to Courtney Cronin, she has been battling a fly since 5 a.m. Central Time, which is the time that we went on air this
morning.
Carlin
doesn't have hair. He doesn't have this problem.
That's true.
Where he has to worry about a bug laying eggs, thousands of eggs in his hair, which doesn't exist.
I'm not sure that's a thing.
His hair.
You know what is the thing? Adam Schefter's ringtone, because we missed getting into this earlier in the show. So I feel like we've got to get into this now, because Adam Schefter, ESPN's NFL insider, he was on the Back to Football show, and his phone, which he claims was on silent, which I don't know how this is possible then, started ringing and revealed to America Adam Schefter's ringtone that he denies is in fact his ringtone. Take a listen.
How he responds to it ultimately will tell you the story on it, but I don't think it's going to be smooth sailing.
Be really interesting to watch. As Shefty mentioned, it's been 3.5 decades of greatness from the Packers. Shefty's turns out that Shefty's ringtone is
ringtone. No, it's not.
Shefty, hey America, you can ring that bell.
It won't stop. Go to break.
If you can see Adam's face, he's like,
it won't stop. The phone is off and it won't stop. What is going on here?
Someone's calling you.
I don't have that ringtone.
I never pegged him for an Indeed Award guy. Did
that
you,
is amazing.
Amber Wilson?
No, I did not. A disco song from 1979. I did not have that on my list of Adam Schefter ringtones. Also, he claims this wasn't his ringtone. So I would think somebody went into his phone to play a joke on him and set their number as the ringtone, and then they started calling. But in what scenario does Adam Schefter leave his phone out and also not have like 17 passcodes on it? Because if there's a phone in this country that needs Fort Knox to get through it, I would imagine it's Adam Schefter's. And also, I would imagine it's never not in his hand, like not even just like in his pocket, but it's never not in his hand. It's Adam Schefter. He's sitting on set with his cell phone.
He's probably got it on vibrate more times than not, because he's got to be able to, like, you saw him on the Back Together weekend special where he's looking at his phone. Like, they'll catch him in the middle of, like, a Sports Center report when he's on desk, because he's trying to break news in the moment. My theory here is that, you know, like how there's settings where you put people in your favorites in your phone and their call will go through no matter what.
Yeah.
You have that on
your iPhone?
Yeah,
like, it's like family, your favorites, and you can break through with it. Yeah.
What if it's like a very important general manager that he has been waiting to get a news nugget on, and he changed it to this disco song called Ring My Bell so he wouldn't miss it? If he had his phone away from him, which I'm sure he does not, at any point he would hear it, be like, oh no, I know this is XYZ calling. I've got a big break on my hands. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it.
It's a good theory. I do feel like, though, if Adam Schefter was getting a call from somebody that was of that most importance, he would be running off the set. Like, I don't feel like he'd be sitting there and having a conversation, defending his ringtone choice, which is what he ends up doing. And he's sitting there, he starts cracking up. My favorite part of that soundbite was that Field Yates tried to keep it together initially and tried to be professional, and he lost it.
This is ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.